Christ is the light of the world. The light of Christ is coming. How do you feel about this good news? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Depending upon your perspective, it could be good news or it could be not so good news. Do you want God shining his light into your life? Into your thoughts? Into your actions? How do you feel about that? Do you want to be in God's spotlight? There's this program that's on the NFL Network. It's called Sound Effects, and they focus in on different players with a microphone, listening to everything that the player says during the game. This past week, they focused in on Tim Tebow, and they featured him, this amazing quarterback, the comeback kid for Denver Broncos, and a devout Christian. And so I tuned in this week to listen to Tebow, dreading, fearing that his tongue was going to be his undoing. And I listened for 10 minutes on the internet to him praying and singing, not so well, "Lord, I lift your name on high," and encouraging his teammates, encouraging his opponents, encouraging his coaches, all the while they are losing 10 to nothing through the whole game, pretty much. And then right at the end, they come back and win. And at the end of it, I'm just still awestruck and inspired by this young man who, when the spotlight is on him, he is living faithfully for Christ. Now, as for me, if the Pastor Network had a microphone on me, I guarantee I would not fare as well. I'm pretty sure that my mutterings would be far from inspirational. And so I don't want that microphone on me. At first blush, when I think about the light of Christ shining down on me, it's not good news for me. I don't know how you feel, but the light of Christ on me does not feel like good news. Everybody can see my dirt when the light of Christ shines on me, right? And I don't want you seeing my dirt. So I don't like this idea of welcoming the light, at least at first blush. And yet, I know this, that dirt piles up and gets heavy. I know it's there. I'm tired of carrying it around, and I would love to be free of it. I would love to see it gone. And so, because I would love to be clean, I'm curious. I'm interested. Maybe you can relate. And this is what makes the light of Christ actually very good news. Because Jesus illumines our sin, he does show it off, show it up, but he doesn't just leave us there. He comes into our lives and he cleans us up. He makes us spotless like him. He washes it away. He doesn't just leave the spotlight on us, but he makes us squeaky clean, just as clean as Tebow. So the Bible is actually filled with testimony of men like you and like me who ain't so clean, but who get cleaned up by the Lord Jesus. This great testimony of Peter, who, you know, rejected and denied Jesus at the time of his trial, the time of his crucifixion. And yet Jesus forgave him. Jesus wiped away his dirt. And Peter writes, "Now to all of the people who have put their faith in Jesus, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a nation that's been made clean. Sins are washed away. God's special possession. Why? So that you can declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." 1 Peter chapter 2. Or how about the Apostle Paul, who murdered Christians and persecuted Christians for many years, and then on the road to Damascus, Jesus meets him. Jesus forgives him, wipes away his sins, and then says to him, "I am sending you now, Paul, to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may also receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are made holy by faith in me." This is what Jesus offers. We welcome the light into our lives. It's welcoming not just simply a spotlight into our own uncleanness, but a way of making us clean. I want to be forgiven, don't you? Don't you want to experience this radical transformation through Jesus. Don't you want, as we say at the end of the service, Christ, the Son of Righteousness, to shine upon you and scatter the darkness from before your path? Don't you want this? I do. That's what this passage is about in John chapter 1. So before we dig in, let's say a prayer together. We commit this time to you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would shine your light now so that we might see and understand what you have to say to us, and that we might apply this to our lives, that we would, none of us, leave here unchanged, but having met with you, we might leave here walking in the light, set free from our sins, and following you as your disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look at this passage, John chapter 1, it's on page 750 of the Pew Bible, and it's verses 9 through 13. It's a very simple, very straightforward message. Here's a summary of what I understand in three basic steps in this little paragraph. Basically, Jesus' own people rejected him, first of all. Jesus' own people rejected him. Secondly, others welcomed him. And thirdly, whoever welcomes Jesus receives his Father's welcome. First of all, Jesus' own people rejected him. Secondly, others welcomed him. And thirdly, whoever welcomes Jesus receives his Father's welcome. Let's look at each of these as we move through the passage. First of all, in verses 9 through 11, Jesus' own people rejected him. John, at the beginning of this chapter, tells us that Jesus was instrumental in the creation of the cosmos. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And now in tonight's passage, John tells us that Jesus came into the creation that he had made, and yet the creation doesn't recognize him, doesn't know him. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And John's point in telling us this is to just show us how dark the world has become. Things had gotten so bad that the world didn't even recognize its maker. But that's not all. John goes on to tell us, not only does the world not recognize him, he now narrows the focus down to Jesus' own people, Jesus' family, God's chosen people. If anybody should have recognized Jesus, it would have been his own family, right? And yet John tells us, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. What's sad about this, especially sad, is that we've been reading week after week after week from the Old Testament about all the expectations that the Jewish people had about the Messiah who was to come. We read it again tonight. They are waiting, not just waiting, they are begging, crying out to God that he would send his light and set the world to rights again. This is what they were longing for, praying for, dreaming of. And now when the light comes, even though they were sick of darkness, not only didn't they recognize him, but they didn't receive him. And why is that? It's because the light of Christ illumines our sin. In the first place Jesus began to shine his light when he came was in his own family. The light of Christ revealed the Jewish government and the Jewish religious leaders to be corrupt and self-serving. And instead of welcoming him, they tried to shut him out. So that's the first point. Jesus' own people rejected him. But if you continue reading in this paragraph, others welcome Jesus. Look at verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name. Not everybody rejected Jesus. John tells us that there were those who did receive him. And who welcomed him? Who welcomed Jesus? If you're familiar with the story of Jesus at all, you'll know that there are many who came from far and wide to receive him. From all walks of life, men and women, rich and poor, Jews and Gentiles. But more often than not, the people who came to receive Jesus were outsiders. They were people who were not from the family of God, not clean, not healthy. They were people constantly in need. These were people, by and large, who didn't really care about Jesus shining his light into their lives. What they really cared about was getting this forgiveness and getting a fresh start. If you read on in the story of John's gospel, in chapters 3 and 4, we see two different stories that highlight the difference between the people who rejected Jesus and the people who welcomed him. What do we meet in John chapter 3? We see Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders, who comes to Jesus. He sneaks out in the middle of the night. He comes to him in darkness, and he is considering whether to welcome Jesus or not. He's on the fence about it. And Jesus responds by telling him, what? You must be born again. Nicodemus says, huh? And in their dialogue, as it continues, Jesus gives Nicodemus, finishing his speech, he gives him this prophetic warning. He says, this is the verdict, Nicodemus. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Have a nice day. That's the end of the Nicodemus story. Off he goes. We don't know what happens to Nicodemus for a while in the gospel. But then in the next chapter, John chapter 4, we meet a different person. We meet a Samaritan, that's an outsider, an unclean person, and a woman. And she's coming to Jesus in the heat of the day at noon, coming to the center square, to the well. She's out in the middle of the light, and as they talk, Jesus brings into the light a long, painful sexual history that she has had with many partners. And he offers her his living water to cleanse her. And instead of despising him for it, as he shines his light onto her life, she instead welcomes his light, and she runs to town to tell everybody about the Messiah. Unlike Nicodemus's fellow Pharisees, these unclean Samaritans come to meet him, to welcome Jesus. They urge him to stay with them, and they put their faith in him. They believe in him, John tells us, as the Savior of the world. So that's who welcomed Jesus. People who didn't care about him shining his light into their lives. They just wanted to have his forgiveness. They just wanted to be made clean. That's who welcomed him. Think about how they welcomed him. What does John tell us in verse 12? They received him by believing in his name. In other words, they trusted in him as the person who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But it was more to it than just professing some internal belief, right? Sometimes in evangelical Christianity, we get this wrong. We don't understand that belief also includes a commitment, a pledge of allegiance to follow. This is where St. Paul is helpful in the lesson tonight from Romans chapter 10. Paul says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. These two things go together. It's not just coming to some kind of internal agreement with the theology and the philosophy of Jesus, but it's also standing up and saying, I'm your follower, Lord Jesus. You are my king. I will follow you. I pledge allegiance to you. Those two things go together to put faith in him. You have to fall in step behind him, follow him, live for him. Have you done this? Have you not just come to an intellectual commitment, but also to a life commitment? Have you aligned your head, your heart, your will behind the Lord Jesus? This is the night to do it. This is the best thing that could happen in your life for Christmas this year, to make this kind of alignment and to experience his washing you clean, to experience his living water setting you free from sin, to no longer have the fear of that spotlight, because now the righteousness of Christ will deflect it. Come enjoy this cleansing, redeeming light of Christ. And this brings us to a third point here at the end of verse 12 and on into verse 13, which is that whoever receives Jesus, whoever welcomes Jesus, receives his Father's welcome. John goes on to say, that Jesus gave the right to whoever welcomes him. He gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And what John is saying here is that those who welcome Jesus are likewise welcomed by his Father and welcomed into his Father's family. If you follow what he's saying in verse 13, it's not one particular ethnicity, not one particular set of genes, not one bloodline that determines who is in or out of the family of God. He's saying, rather, that is those who welcome Jesus who are then welcomed into his Father's family. Talk about diversity, talk about multiculturalism. Every ethnic group can be included in to this tribe of followers of Jesus. God's family is open to every nation, tribe, and tongue, to anyone who believes. And let me highlight now what John is promising here. He's talking about family. It's your decision as an individual, of course, to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. But when you make this decision, then you are, from that point on, included into the family of God. It's an individual decision with corporate consequences. To be included into God's family, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus. I remember when I was in college, and this dawned on me at some point as I was reading my Bible, and it just revolutionized the way that I read the Bible from this point forward. Whereas before, I had been reading the story as a story about me and God, just the two of us, and then it dawned on me that the Bible is all about family. It's all about us and God. And as soon as that thing clicked, a lot of passages in the Scriptures just opened up wide. It's delightful news to know that one of the great benefits of professing faith in Christ is in that you're included in this global family, this family of the saints who've gone before us, and now all of the saints around the world who've professed faith in him. And that's the when of Jesus' promise, by the way. Not only the what, being everybody who professes faith in Jesus, but the when, being that this promise is not for the end of the world. We're not adopted into God's family someday in the by and by, but when we profess faith in Jesus, God adopts us into his family right now. We get to experience the blessings of being a part of his family right now. And so what a joy and privilege it is to get off the plane somewhere far away, to meet Christians, and to have instantly brothers and sisters in Christ that we are connected with and know at a heart level because they also follow the Lord. We know what it's like to experience forgiveness of sins. We know what it's like to walk in the light. We know what it's like to worship him. And there are many others around the world who also know and experience these things. Why? Because we have the same Father. All right, so that's the passage. Do you understand it? He came to his own. They did not receive him. But there were others who welcomed him. And whoever welcomes Jesus receives his Father's welcome. If you think about it, this is a great summary of the Christmas story, isn't it? Because the Christmas story is one of Joseph and Mary going home to Bethlehem, and there was no room for baby Jesus, right? He's laid in a feeding trough, and he's laying there while the king of the Jews is trying to kill him. Meanwhile, there are those who do come to welcome him, and these are outsiders, those dirty shepherds and those crazy magicians from Babylon who come to worship him, to bring him gifts, to declare him Savior of the world. Whoever welcomes Jesus receives the Father's welcome. We are one. We have a family that includes shepherds and magi. Praise the Lord. And this also is not just the Christmas story, but it's the whole gospel story. If you keep on reading throughout the year, all the way through till Good Friday and Easter, you'll see that Jesus grows up and he ministers in Israel, and his family isn't impressed with him, and the Jewish leaders aren't impressed with him. The church and the state both reject him, ultimately crucifying him for crimes he didn't commit. And yet there are those who do welcome him, particularly Gentiles, particularly women, particularly the weak and the sick and the marginalized. And here's what Jesus promises them at the end of John's gospel. He says, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." The whole gospel story right here summarized in a few verses in John chapter 1. That's all the message is tonight. Very simple. It's the last Sunday of Advent. Christmas is coming. Waiting's almost over. Are you ready to welcome the light of Christ? Are you ready? Be ready to receive him. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart." Not just for Christians, but for everybody. When the Lord Jesus comes again, that spotlight is going to shine on every one of us. Much better to be a part of the family of God at that point. Why not start now? The light of Christ will shine on our lives. His spotlight will expose the motives of our hearts. All our dirt will someday be visible for all to see. Why not experience his forgiveness right now? Why not welcome the light right now? Why not put your faith in him and enjoy the Father's love as he adopts you into his family? Let's pray. Lord, help us.